Sermons nearly always have a roundabout, slow stream of consciousness way of forming in me, at least. Reading, research, examining scripture and reason, guided by the living experience of the church's tradition. And this one is no different. I'd saved a quote some time back from one of Stanley Hauerwas's theology lectures at Duke Divinity School. "You have to teach someone to be a sinner," was his statement. While agreeing with and pondering this, I came across another favorite priest theologian. I only know him by the moniker Father Stephen. He's a blogger, and I don't know him personally, but he studied under Hauerwas at Duke Divinity and mused how strange that must sound to us modern or postmodern humans that we have to learn to sin, adding that we don't exactly need any help doing the things that sinners do, all of which comes quite easily to us. They do to me, anyway. The point is, we have to learn that we are sinners. And this does not come easily to us. In other words, the Christian understanding of sin is not something we're born with. We have to be taught. I think we have to be taught in church that we are sinners. It wasn't taught to me in my home. In my home, I was darling and sweetheart and beloved. But in church, I learned, well, maybe not. You're a sinner. We have to be taught to understand the human predicament and the precise character of the situation in which we find ourselves. So here's a way of saying this. Sin is the question to which Jesus' death and resurrection is the answer. This seems to me exactly what St. Paul was addressing in his Corinthian letter. The message about the cross, he says, is foolishness to those who are perishing, to Jews who demand signs, and Gentiles who demand and desire rationality. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God, the rationality of God. Now, to a great extent, it's not likely that these Jews and Gentiles, some of whom were now Christian disciples in Corinth, fully understood the teachings of Christ, or St. Paul for that matter, because they didn't sufficiently see death and resurrection as an answer to any of their problems. Certainly today's gospel lends itself to this existential ignorance of Jesus' purpose and coming. But Jesus not only reveals himself as the answer to our problem, but defines the problem as well. God's foolishness is wiser than your human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than all of your undertakings, your human strength. In our modern world, the success of preaching the gospel may often depend upon whether anyone thinks he or she needs such a gospel as this. Is a crucified and resurrected Messiah such good news after all? Does it matter? Do you need this? There is something about the kingdom of God, which Jesus said is not of this world, that causes us all to stumble, to be scandalized. The word that St. Paul uses for stumbling block is Greek. It sounds like scandalon, and when we take it over into our English language, it comes across as scandal. It's a bunch of foolishness. In other words, religion is the problem to people who see it this way. The first and great scandalon, stumbling block, that we are moving toward this Lent is Jesus' passion, his Pascha, the cross of Calvary, the empty Easter Day tomb, Christ's death on the cross, his descent into Hades, and his resurrection. This is what St. Paul is proclaiming as the remedy for our sin problem. He's saying it's God's foolishness and God's weakness, and that this trumps and overwhelms our human rationality and human strength. And this supreme cosmic scandalon, stumbling block, is the great contrarian nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter morning run utterly contrary to this world and the nature of things as we usually, ordinarily expect them to be. From death comes life. We lose so that we might gain. We forgive that we might be forgiven. We love those who hate us. We give thanks where no thanks is expected. This is not the work of man. It is the work of God. It is the work, the good news, that undoes our sin, our bad news problem. The work that undoes death, hell, hatred, greed, and the rest of what we delusionally think of as normal human experience. As St. Paul tells the Corinthian church, the message about the cross is foolishness. It's just nonsensical to those who are perishing in unbelief. But to us who are being saved, it is none other than the power of God. What do we constantly remind ourselves of most Sundays with the comfortable words, the sentences of Scripture after we confess our sins and receive absolution? Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to Him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. There it is, God and sinners reconciled, peace on earth and mercy mild. God's foolishness, God's weakness. Yes, the bad news is, it's true. The man standing in the pulpit speaking to you learned how to sin and sin right well. 1 John 1:18 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the good news is that God is saving me. God is saving us from my condition, from our condition, by the message about the cross. And I want to preach that clearly and plainly. For I have no desire to insert my own opinion, but only the truth about the meaning of why God came into our broken world. And the truth starts with who I am and who you are and the glorious purpose of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves. And the church is a hospital for us, we who are sinners. And your preacher this morning is the chief patient. Sin is not so much an action, though it is certainly that. We sinners can do bad things. Sin is more than action, though, above all, sin is a condition. You can't anymore wake up in the morning and decide not to envy and covet and totally put other people's needs ahead of your own any more than I can. We're all frustrated by a selfish heart. The Bible teaches us that. And as any parent knows, the first two words children learn are no and mine. And we say those all the rest of our life. Sin is just the condition that separates us from God. And it must be said, if we're looking for the New Testament understanding of salvation, that Jesus came into the world for the prime purpose of saving sinners. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, the angel said, "Joseph, do not fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And that is the most wonderful news I think I've ever heard. Now, just suppose the message of the angel was, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall show us how to love one another." Well, there's some truth to that, but it misses the profundity of Christianity. Christianity is not, in the first place, an appeal for moral improvement. I can use moral improvement, but my problem's deeper than that. And Christianity is the story of how God invaded this planet, this cosmos, to rescue and redeem his rebellious chosen children. If we think we can understand Christianity apart from Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection, then we're not celebrating the awe-inspiring love and purpose of God. I wish to quote from the great 18th century English preacher George Whitefield, perhaps one of the most, if not the most, influential preacher that ever preached in America. This is from a sermon he preached in 1755. "And now, my dear friends, examine your hearts. Was ever the remembrance of your sins grievous to you? Was the burden of your sins intolerable to your thoughts? Did you ever see that God's wrath might justly fall upon you on account of your actual transgressions against God? Were you ever in all your life sorry for your sins? Could you ever say, 'My sins are gone over my head as a burden too heavy for me to bear'? Did you ever experience any such thing as this? Did ever any such thing as this pass between God and your soul? If not, for Jesus Christ's sake, do not call yourselves Christians. You may speak peace to your hearts, but there is no peace." I close with this. In one of the original episodes of Law and Order, some 15 years or so ago, there was a scene of three cops doing an all-night stakeout from their parked car. It's 3 o'clock or so in the morning, and over black coffee, they're talking about the regrets of their lives. The guy in front under the wheel said he regretted being a jerk to his wife most of their married lives before she died. The cop riding shotgun said he regretted chronically stealing money as a teenager from his hard-working father's wallet. And the cop in the back is sitting there with his eyes closed, half asleep, and they said to him, Hey, Sergeant, what do you regret?" And he shifted and finally mumbled out, "I regret everything." It's just a little part of me that can identify. Can you? I have my share of sin and regret that stem from a self-centered heart. And the message about the cross speaks to it. Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God to save sinners who believe. I do not care how low you've sunk. There's no reason to give up or think only somber, gloomy thoughts. I'm with you in that I cannot undo my past. But I am privileged to point to a Savior who can wash us clean. Jesus never once in the entire story of the New Testament turned away a helpless sinner who fled to him. We celebrate one who lived and died and rose again that we might have reconciliation with God. And now, may God draw reluctant hearts and give doubting souls courage to believe the message about the cross for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.